Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Linda Pliagas with Realty 411 Magazine. Welcome to another episode of Invest Wisely with Realty 411. Now, today we're honored to interview one of the most visible and well-known personalities in the REI industry, Mr. Sherman L. Ranglund II, who is touted as America's Real Estate Mentor by ABC TV. Now, Mr. Ranglund's impeccable education includes a Bachelor of Science degree in Mass Communications, as well as an MBA in Finance from Wharton. Plus, he has a master's in urban planning from the School of Architecture of the University of Virginia. Now, he's been a dedicated student of real estate and real estate investing since his undergraduate studies. And now he's leading the way in the industry. He's taking on new risks as an investor, and we're going to hear all about it. Hi, Sherman. How are you?
Hey, Linda. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. I know you're so busy, and today's Saturday, so I really appreciate you carving some time out of your busy schedule to share some knowledge and tips and strategies with our listeners.
It's my pleasure.
Let's get right into it. Now, first of all, I want to ask you, how did you discover real estate and real estate investing and the power it can have on one's life?
Well, I think my journey is probably very similar to many of your listeners and certainly many of the people that I come in contact with. My first experience learning about real estate was when my mother took me to a seminar at a hotel when I was a junior in high school, and the gentleman was talking about, quote-unquote, how to get rich in real estate. And so we bought his two cassette tapes in the clamshell case, and and like many people, we bought it, really didn't do anything with it, but the things he said were just so empowering and uplifting. And I probably made one of the biggest mistakes that that I've seen anybody in the industry make, which was I did something that a mentor later on in life told me not to do, but I didn't know it at the time, which was I began to confuse activity for progress. And what do I mean by that? I thought the way that you get involved in real estate was to get your real estate license, to get more education, to take more classes. And education is important. But when education becomes sort of the shield you hide behind and you don't take action, then you can begin to develop what they call paralysis of analysis. So what happened to me was my first introduction to real estate was when I was in high school. Later on when I went to college, I actually did get my real estate license. They actually offered it as one of the elective classes at my university that I graduated from. So I got my real estate license when I was a college junior. And then I went on to graduate school and studied real estate finance. But here's the funny thing, Linda. All along the way, I'm taking all these classes in real estate, but I'm not actually doing real estate. And it was crazy. I actually met a man. His name was Jim Rouse. And Jim Rouse had actually built the town that I lived in called Columbia, Maryland. And I was fortunate enough to meet Mr. Rouse when I was a senior in college. And he actually offered me a job at his company, which was a real estate development company. And I turned him down, and the reason I turned him down and I told him this was because I had applied for a scholarship to go to grad school and go get my MBA. And Linda, he looked me in the eye and he said, Sherman, the Wharton School is a very fine place, but you will never learn real estate sitting in a classroom. You learn this business by doing it. And,
at
19, 20, 21 years old, whatever it is, at whatever age you are as a high school, as a college senior, you don't necessarily recognize wisdom when you hear it. It was many years later that I recognized the fact that Mr. Rouse was absolutely correct. You really do learn this real estate business by actually doing it.
Great point, Sherman. And I love the fact that you brought up that you went to a real estate event in high school, and that's actually how you got started, because we host events around the country, and a lot of times guests do bring their children, whether they be, you know, very young, say 6, 7 years old, high school. And I just think that's so wonderful to be able to learn as a family real estate investing and, you know, just have that passion going forward. I think that's amazing.
Oh, I totally agree with you. One of my most successful students ever, Linda, as you know, we run the largest real estate investor association in the greater Washington, D.C. region, D.C. REIA. And we've been at it now, oh, gosh, since 2001. And one of my most successful students is a guy by the name of Pete Gauthier, Captain Pete. And Pete actually wound up teaching seminars and helping people get established in fixing and flipping houses. But when Pete first came to me, I think it was probably one of our early meetings as a real estate club. And he comes to me, and I kid you not, Linda, he looks me in the eye and he says, "My son Ryan, who's a junior in high school, was at your meeting last month, and he told me I had to come here and I had to meet you. I have no idea why, but I'm going to listen to what you have to say, and then I'm going to tell you whether or not this was a good use of my time." Well, by the time the meeting was over, Pete was like, "Will you mentor me?"
Oh, my gosh, I love it.
But you're absolutely right. You never know where a parent will take a child, or in some cases, a child will take a parent, if you're just willing to have enough trust in your kids to say, "Okay, if you think I should go to this meeting, I'll go to this meeting." But it was funny because Ryan and he had a buddy named Ted. They showed up at one of our early club meetings. They sat in the front row. Now one's a junior in high school, one's a senior in high school, and they're sitting there taking notes after notes after notes. And I'm like, "Look at these kids! They're just eating this stuff right up." And it was the next month that. that Pete came along because Ryan said, "Hey, Dad, you need to go check this guy out." So you never know where it's going to go.
I love it. I think that's amazing. That's great. Now, you mentioned taking action. You mentioned networking. What are other steps or techniques that you can share with our listeners to get them started or maybe help them expand their portfolio and their growth?
Well, first of all, I think the kind of things that you do with the expos, that's huge. I had been involved in and around real estate for years, but I really did not get my first deal done until after. It's funny. I'd gone through, like many people in life, life happened to me. I'd gone through a divorce. I was focusing on my career. My career had its ups and downs, and then God let me meet the woman of my dreams. And it turns out she had two kids from a prior marriage. I had no kids. So I wound up moving over to the other side of Washington, D.C. We got married. And about a year and a half later, David comes along, my first, her third, our first together. David comes along, and literally a month after he was born, I just had this burning desire to do something in real estate. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I just knew that I needed to do something. And maybe, you know, they say, you know, when the birth of a child comes along, your life changes. That may have been what happened.
Yeah.
Was I'm sitting there, you know, I'm sitting there in the delivery room as he's coming. I'm like, "Oh, my God, I'm responsible for him." and so I literally turned to my wife when Dave was about a month old. This was probably February of 2001, I said to my wife, "Honey, I want to go to this 4-day real estate event," and it was taking place down in Atlanta. We didn't have nearly the amount of education or opportunities that we have today, but it was at a 4-day expo-style event that I began to build connections and meet people, and I actually met a guy who was from Baltimore, Maryland, a guy named Steve Cook, who was just starting to teach people how to fix and flip houses. And Steve and I met, instantly bonded, and when we got back to the D.C. area, I went up to Baltimore and literally just sat in his car for a day watching him do what he does, looking over his shoulder. And that was when the light bulbs really started clicking, and the light bulbs going off and everything started clicking. And that's how I really started getting into the business. And within 3 weeks of sitting in the car with Steve, I got my first deal done.
I love it. I love the fact that you essentially shadowed someone and you got in right there next to him and saw how he was operating his business. What a great way to learn.
It really is one of the best ways. But that would not have happened if I had not gone to that expo event and met him and said, hey, here's a guy I can identify with. Here's somebody who's actually doing something. You know, can I sit in your car and spend a day with you? And fortunately, he agreed to let me do that. And like I said, that was like the world to me, just sitting there and watching an experienced investor actually do what they do.
Amazing. Tell us again about your RIA and how people can find it, or do you do any live streaming? Can people around the country tap into it?
We don't do much live streaming. We're sort of hyper local. About 10 years ago, we bought our own building. And so because we own our own building and we don't go to a hotel, we literally have something going on 4 or 5 nights a week. And I got to tell you, this, Linda, and we probably need to reassess. Every year you got to reassess what you're doing. But we actually did do some streaming because we wanted to make it easier for people on the other side of town to see what we were doing. And we have something called a Dealmaker Workshop, and it's every Tuesday. And we actually, you know, it's like we put on little mini hot seats, and people come up, talk about the deals they're working on, and the more experienced members of the group help them structure the deal, and everybody learns by sitting in on it. So about 4 or 5 years ago, we decided to stream it, right? Because we said, we're basically on the east side of Washington. We got people coming from all the way on the way far on the west side of Washington. So we decided to stream it, and about a month later, our attendance went from like 50 people down to 5. They're like, what's going on?
Boy.
Everybody was sitting at home watching the live stream.
That's funny.
So we pulled the plug and like, no, because the magic happens in the room, right? So
absolutely.
As a consequence, because we're so hyper local and because we have literally something going on 4 or 5 nights a week, we don't do much streaming. From time to time, we will do an event. For example, in Maryland, there are some very specific and fairly stringent laws when it comes to foreclosure investing. So every year since 2005, we do something called the Foreclosure Summit, where we make sure that new investors learn about the Maryland law, because it's pretty serious law. And also we give updates and that kind of stuff. We will stream something like that, but most of the stuff that we do in small groups, hands-on. Like, example, we always have, like, property tours. We do bus tours. We have property tours. Our more active rehabbing members will basically work with our newer members and show them how to do hands-on selecting a contractor and managing a contractor by actually going out to the properties. And those kinds of things are just a little more difficult to live stream. But for the most part, most of the stuff that we do is very, very local.
Very nice. Now, tell us a little bit about the new deal that you're doing, the 120-room hotel with Choice Hotels and the program that they're offering and how you tapped into that.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very exciting. So we were selected at the very end of last year. I mean, like literally 2 days before the end of the year, we got a phone call from the folks at Choice Hotels saying we would like to sign an exclusive agreement with you to do two hotels, total of 120 rooms. One's a suite concept, the one's sort of an extended stay suite concept, and the other one's a regular modestly priced hotel room concept, and you can do them anywhere you want to do them in the state of Maryland, so long as we don't have a pre-existing relationship with an existing Choice Hotel brand in that market. And the way that came about is sort of a two-step process. Step number one was about 10 years ago, one of my sisters in the church found out that I was doing real estate investing, and she's like, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but I work in the opening department for Choice Hotels, and if you ever think you want to get in the hotel business, you ought to come check us out, because we have this new program we put in place to increase the number of franchisees that are veterans, women, and minority-owned companies. And so not even really thinking about hotels, I just knew that my dad said to me when I was a kid, anytime door of opportunity opens up, you go through it, you don't go back and get your bag. So she's like, you got to check it out. So I'm like, you know, I'm busy fixing and flipping houses, but I ought to go check this thing out. So I went to one of their information sessions, and I was just totally blown away. I had no idea that the kind of money can be made. And when you start talking about migrating from different areas of investing, like wholesaling or fixing and flipping, you know, and really getting into the more buy hold, I think everybody sort of aspires to own an apartment building, maybe a self-storage. But hotels are very much a part of the mix and should be part of the mix for any investor who's serious about, you know, any kind of a buy-hold strategy. And the reason why is because there's like 3 or 4 different kinds of hotels. Everybody sort of wants to stay at the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons on the beach, right? But the real money is made in what they call limited service hotels, which are hotels that generally don't have restaurants, generally don't have big ballrooms. And what they're really providing is a good, decent, clean place to sleep at night, in a good, safe location. And that's the kind of thing that's perfect for somebody who maybe has done one or two apartments, or maybe has, you know, three or four houses. And it's almost like real life Monopoly. You know, three, four green houses trade up to your first red hotel, right? Maybe I'll write a book, right? So in any event, so the first step in the process was just learning about this program. And the way that the program works is they have a certain amount of financial incentives that they can actually provide for a franchisee. Now, most people don't realize this, but if you're going to do a hotel, you kind of want to associate with one of the big brands. Hotels are very, very different business than like a bed and breakfast or an Airbnb. If you got one, you know, duplex or one extra room, and you want to do the Airbnb, that's fine. But when you start talking about I've got 80 rooms or 100 rooms, and I got to have those rooms rented out every night, you really want to affiliate with what they call a flag. So Marriott, Choice, Hyatt, Hilton, all the big brands, all the big names. And all of them now have some kind of a program for first-time hotel owners, first-time hotel operators. So it's worth checking them out. Oh, yeah, all of them have programs now. And it's sort of funny how it came about. Basically what happened was about 15, 16 years ago, there was a group of members of I think it was a black sorority, and they had gone to stay, I think, at Virginia Beach or something like that, and they weren't treated very well. And so they filed a complaint, and so they said, listen, as a part of the complaint, how many of your franchisees are actually minorities or women? And the hotel company was like, none. And so they said, you tell you what, we're not going to stay at any of your hotels anywhere in the United States anymore. We're going to go with the hotel company that actually has women franchisee owners and minority owners. And so that's when they got religion and said, wait a minute. They looked at their numbers and said, hey, these sorority groups, these fraternity groups are a big part of our business. We better do something about it. And that's when they got serious. And so I think Choice was one of the first ones to get serious about it. But almost all the hotel companies now have some kind of a program for first-time hotel operators, women-owned hotel operators, minority hotel operators, and, of course, veterans is big, big now with all the vets coming back from Afghanistan and from Iraq over the past couple of years. So if you fall in any of those categories, you'd be really smart to reach out to these hotel companies and say, hey, and they don't always use the label minority or women. They may say emerging markets or emerging operator. Yeah. So you got to get a little bit smart about what you're asking for. And, of course, anybody who wants to reach out to me, I'd be happy to give them the context that I have and make some introductions. That would be my pleasure to do that for you, Linda, because I love you. I love you, and I love what you're doing. But if you just want to do this on your own, So if you just want to do this on your own, just ask for the person who's responsible for new hotel operators, and then say, hey, do you have a program for, and whatever group you may fall in, just ask them, do they have a program for that? You'd be surprised. And the programs are sort of all across the board, but all of them include some kind of incentive. So, for example, if you find an existing hotel and you want to buy it and you want to rebrand it, so let's say that you find, as an example, a Holiday Inn, and maybe it's a little rundown, and you say, okay, I can buy this, you know, 80-room Holiday Inn or 50-room Holiday Inn, and I want to rebrand it and bring in Choice Hotels to be my flag, my operator, if you go to them and say, hey, will you help me out, you may find out that they'll give you $2,000-$4,000 per room as a financial incentive to switch from one brand to another brand. Well, that's cash money towards your equity towards the purchase of the hotel. And again, every company has a slightly different program and slightly different dollar amounts, but almost all of them have some kind of a program for first-time operators. It's worth checking out.
Give us your number one more time, or your email, where people can, connect with you and get more information about this or your club in D.C.
Yeah, so they can call my office, 301-218-4333, 301-218-4333. They can always find me online. They can go to my website, Sherman, S-H-E-R-M-A-N-R-A-G-L-A-N-D, ShermanRagland.com. Or they can go to Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Just go into the search box on Facebook, look Sherman Ragland. I oftentimes respond through Instant Messenger, not always, but oftentimes. And if they're in the D.C. area and they'd like to check out the club, just go to D.C., D like dog, C like chocolate, DCRealEstateInvestors.com.
Very nice. Well, I certainly commend Choice Hotels and other hotels for stepping up and offering such an incredible opportunity to underrepresented people in our industry. Now, Sherman, in what words would you have for, let's say, minority entrepreneurs that are listening, women, veterans, maybe the disabled who want to get into real estate but could use a little bit of, you know, encouragement or a little bit of assistance? What would you say to them?
Oh, that's easy. I would say the same things that the words that my dad said to me when I was a kid in college, my freshman year, and I was a little bit lost about what I wanted to do and feeling a little bit down in the mouth. And I called him up one day going, "Dad, you're not going to believe what happened to me. You know, the department where I'm studying, they're saying there's not going to be jobs. I don't know what to do." And my dad said to me, "Son, you live in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world." You can tell my dad was military, right?
The greatest country in the world.
"And you can do anything you want to do, and you can be anything you want to be. The key is to find somebody who's already doing what you want to do and get them to show you how." And I think those were probably the truest words that any father could give a child, but they're certainly relevant and certainly true for anybody who wants to be successful in the real estate business. Find somebody who's doing what you want to do and get them to show you how.
Very nice. Wonderful. Now, I wanted to ask you, as someone that invests out of state, and I, you know, living in California, a lot of Californians buy real estate all over the country. Do you see a lot of activity from out-of-state buyers there?
We do. And I think the main reason why is because Washington, D.C. is the capital city. It's sort of unusual in the United States because we have so many great cities. But when you go outside the U.S., typically if you go to any foreign country, the first place you always go is the capital city, because that's usually where the power is, that's usually where the money is. And we saw some of that during the last recession when even the automakers and the investment bankers from New York and the automakers from Detroit were running out of money. Where did they go to get the money? Washington, D.C. And to some degree, Washington, D.C.'s economy boomed while everybody else was contracting during the recession. Now, it hasn't fully flipped. D.C. slowed down a little bit, but it hasn't dramatically slowed down, and we're seeing the rest of the cities really flourish. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for investing anywhere near and around the capital city of a country, because that market is always going to be solid when other markets get a little bit soft. And I think for those I think first and foremost, most investors should always look in their own backyard. That's the first place to look. But if you are in California and you're feeling like, well, maybe the market's getting a little too hot, or you're from other markets and you're like, you know, I want to diversify a little bit, I think you got to honestly look at what's happening in the Washington, D.C. region. We still have a lot more upside. But again, as we saw during the last recession, most of the property values in Washington, D.C. did not go down. Just outside D.C. in the suburbs, they did flatten out and in some cases did go down a little bit, but the prices are already back up. But D.C. showed itself to be a very resilient real estate market during the last recession. And I would say to anybody, if you're looking for investing for the long haul, D.C. is a market that's got to be on your short list.
Wonderful. Now, Sherman, who are some of your mentors? I know you mentioned your father. He has a great impact in your life. Who else has made you who you are today?
Well, you know, I'd say a handful of people. Clearly my mom and dad, and my mom had as many quotable quotes as my dad did. but outside of my family, the first real mentor that I met outside my own mom and dad was probably Jim Rouse. Mr. Rouse offered me a job. He was the one that sort of pulled back the curtain and showed me what the possibilities were in the real estate business. So he was very, very powerful in my life. Two other people who I think really had a great impact. I would say there was probably Oliver Carr, who was the biggest developer in Washington, D.C. during the 1980s. And his son, Tom, hired me away from the job that I had at a company called Xerox Realty Corporation, which was part of Xerox, and brought me into downtown D.C. and allowed me to understand how downtown D.C. real estate works. And then after I left the car company, I had a business partner named Mark Fried. And Mark Fried, who grew up dirt poor, but by the time he died, he was a multi-millionaire. He was really very inspirational and very helpful to me. He sort of treated me like his second son, or third son, actually. He had two boys. But he'd do all kind of crazy stuff, like come up to me and grab me by the stomach and go, "When are you going to lose some weight?" some of my friends and business colleagues, they look at me and go, "Horrified." I'm like, "No, it's just Mark. You know, it's Mark being Mark, right?" and we just had that kind of a relationship. And he was constantly trying to get me to think like an entrepreneur, think like a real estate investor. At the time, I wasn't ready to do that. But what he was really doing was planting seeds. Mark unfortunately passed away about 4 or 5 years ago, so we really didn't get a chance to have the kind of relationship I wanted to have. But he really did sort of show me a lot of stuff behind the scenes and plant some seeds. And by the time I was ready to actually start becoming an investor and stop, you know, trading hours for dollars, a lot of the things that Mark said to me were in the back of my head and still are in the back of my head that I sort of follow through on today.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, before we, you know, say goodbye to another episode, is there anything that I may have missed or anything special you want to add and share to our listeners?
Well, I would just say in closing, you know, this is a really wonderful business, and it's not just about the money, but the money's pretty good. It's about the people that you meet. The people that you meet along the way. As they oftentimes say, you can't trust everybody, but some of my most valuable relationships and people who I trust the most come from my real estate family. And so if you can get yourself networked into a group of people that you know have your back, that's like gold. That's absolutely like gold.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, great, Sherman. Thank you again for sharing your golden nuggets with us. Give us your contact information once again before we say goodbye.
Absolutely. You can reach me through my office at 301-218-4333, 301-218-4333. You can catch me on Facebook, facebook.com/Sherman Raglan, and you can reach me on my website, shermanraglan.com. shermanraglan.com. And also another link that goes there is Ask a Real Investor, askarealinvestor.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you once again. I really appreciate it, and hopefully I'll see you in person very soon.
Well, thank you, Linda. I appreciate it.
That part of the country.
Thank you so much. Talk soon.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's been another exciting episode, and we want to thank Sherman for joining us. Also, be sure to join us and visit our website. We have news stories, articles, blog posts, photos, and videos being uploaded on a regular basis. And our website address is realty411.com. Our event website, which has all the different events we have going on around the country, is realty411expo.com. Be sure to tune in next week for another exciting episode. From all of us at Realty 411, have a great weekend. Bye-bye.